Blog Talk Radio.
Termical Turmoil fans, Sign Guy and QT here with you on another Sunday afternoon. Real quick before we jump into things, if you're looking for some wrestling today, Wrestle Club in Boise, Idaho running today. Big League Wrestling in Toppenish, Washington. Blue Collar Wrestling, as usual, at the North Portland Eagles in Portland, Oregon. CCPW in San Luis Obispo, California. In Kaiju Big Battle happening in Aurora, Illinois today. Go find yourself a local show, support what they do. And without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest as we wrap up Superfan Month. He is Chris Zader. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's up, man? It's great to be on your show. It's truly an honor for me, man.
Pleasure is ours. And since it is your first time with us, we're going to give you a little bit of a different spin on our normal first-timers question. What led you into being a big fan of professional wrestling?
Well, I actually started watching wrestling, believe it or not, when I was about 3 years old. My sister, she introduced me to it. She started watching World Class Championship Wrestling with the Von Erichs. Then I had caught Hulk Hogan on the TV. He's wrestling Jerry Crusher Blackwell. And ever since then, I've been hooked.
Now, of course, Crusher Blackwell, a very big guy. He was a powerhouse, kind of a brawling type of wrestler. Based on being a big fan of Blackwell and a very young age, do you find yourself drawn more to the bigger wrestlers that do that type of style, or have you evolved your taste in wrestling a little bit?
I've really evolved my taste a lot. You know, as a kid, I loved the Ultimate Warrior, Lex Luger, you know, just like the larger-than-life characters. Then after that, I really got into the workhorses like Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, and now I've really begun to like the work of Kenny Omega.
Now, it's well known and documented that you, of course, are a pretty big fan of Hulk Hogan, and he, of course, arguably the most famous wrestler in the history of the business. What was it initially that attracted you to become a Hulkamaniac?
Oh, wow. The interesting thing about that is I also met Hulk was the first wrestler I met when I was 3 years old. And when I saw him, to me, not only that he was larger than life, but he was, to me, like a real superhero. Like, you couldn't really go out and meet Superman or Batman or Spider-Man, but you could go and meet Hulk Hogan, touch him, and he was real. And just the way he looked, the way he acted, just being by him is something totally different. I mean, I've been over to his house numerous times. He's been over to my house. I've gotten very close with him, his family. So I've gotten to see a different side of Hulk Hogan that many people, I don't think they really know. You know, all the stuff that's happened in the last few years also with him, and now he's back in the Hall of Fame. A lot of people go by what they hear, you know, and not actually from firsthand experience. And just being around him has really been a blessing, and he's truly like one of the most down-to-earth human beings you could ever meet.
Now, Hulk Hogan has gone through a wide many sort of eras. You have the early WWF Hulkamania, the red and the yellow. You had the New Japan Hulk Hogan, which was a much more technical wrestling version of Hulk Hogan than what he did in the United States. You had the NWO Hollywood Hogan era. You had the TNA version of Hulk Hogan. What would you say was your favorite version of Hulk Hogan?
You know, I tell you, that's a really interesting question, and I was around a lot with him back when he was first at Impact. But honestly, the one where he proved everybody wrong and the most is when he returned in early 2002. That, for me, may be the greatest moment in Hulkamania history, because when he returned against The Rock in the Sky Dome, I got to be there with his son ringside. And I never have cried during live during seeing a match, but I cried in that moment because just a year and a half earlier, Hulk was written off. The Russo stuff had happened. Hulk seemed to be all but done with the wrestling business at that point. It seemed like he couldn't draw anymore and that he was finished. Then he came back and he proved everybody wrong. He got over on The Rock. And at WrestleMania 18, to this day, all the shows I've been, I've never heard a reaction like that in my life. And in that moment, Hulk proved every single naysayer wrong.
Oh. I'm sure you are someone that has watched many, many pay-per-views, be it on television or live in person, and pay-per-views, of course, especially as early as 10 years ago. That was the barometer of professional wrestling, was the pay-per-view events. With the streaming devices, it's a little bit different now. But back in the days of wrestling when pay-per-view events were bi-monthly or even on a monthly basis and the television was billing to the pay-per-views, how exciting was it for you as a fan knowing that you only got maybe one pay-per-view every couple of months or a little bit later on, like one pay-per-view from each company every month, and things were a little more special as far as the actual pay-per-view events?
Oh, sure, and I do agree with you. You know, back in that day in the late 80s, when you only had WrestleMania, the Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, you know, you had four shows, you know, a year, and then you had, you know, five or six at the time by WCW. You know, they just met, you know, back then I feel like they were more special and they meant more. Then you go into the Attitude Era, and they each have one a month. That was one of the most exciting times ever. I mean, the buy rates were through the roof for both WCW and WWE, which was, I mean, just a time that I don't know if we'll ever see again. I hope we do, because it was just great. You had ECW also. I mean, you had three wrestling organizations on pay-per-view and all doing great business, which is just unreal. So I hope, you know, things can take off like that again. But, yeah, I mean, that was such a special era. I mean, you know, the first – you know, seven or eight WrestleManias with Hulk Hogan headlining, the first ever SummerSlam, the first Survivor Series. I mean, there's just really magical moments, you know, that are now looked at an iconic time in the business.
Now, on the flip side of the pay-per-view is the live house shows. Those shows are only witnessed by the people that have a ticket and go to their local arena to watch it. Do you have a different feeling going into watching a live house show as you do going to a show if it's a pay-per-view or watching a show on television?
Oh, sure, no doubt about that. I mean, especially even now, if you go to a house show compared to like a Monday Night Raw or SmackDown Live, it's just a very different vibe and atmosphere to there. It's more toned down. The wrestlers, you know, can be free to do a little bit more stuff on house shows. You know, so it is a different vibe, but it's also cool to go see a house show, you know, and not just always have all the pomp and circumstance of, you know, all the lights and the huge crowds, you know. Like, I remember I went to a house show, man, back in 1993 at the Rosemont Horizon, and the main event was Hulk Hogan teaming up with Brutus, the Mega Maniacs, against DiBiase and IRS. And, you know, I mean, it was just cool. And, you know, then I went to a house show that was just unreal. It was Hulk Hogan versus the Macho Man in May of 89. Sold out 20,000 people. And even without the cameras and everything, I had goosebumps, and it was just as electrifying as freaking Raw or SmackDown today.
Now, you've been to shows in a lot of different places, and you've seen a lot of different venues. Some places are absolutely phenomenal for wrestling as far as the setting. Some of them are a little bit less appealing for whatever personal reasons people would have. What would you say is your own personal favorite venue to go watch a show in person?
Oh, man, that's a really good question, because I did love going to the Cow Palace in San Francisco. I've been there about 6 times, and that is such an awesome venue to watch pro wrestling with all the history. I mean, between that, obviously, Madison Square Garden. I've attended a few house shows there and a Raw. And then my own home arena, the Allstate Arena, which back in the day used to be the Rosemont Horizon. Those three, like, really stand out as really, just magical arenas to me. Just seeing a lot of historic moments, especially in my own hometown at the Allstate Arena. Going to WrestleMania 2 as a child, I mean, that was just something I'll never forget. I got to go to the first Wrestling Classic, which was at the Horizon, Hogan versus Roddy Piper, which is actually the first ever WWE pay-per-view, not WrestleMania 1, as many people think it is. But, yeah, just those three are right at the top of my list, probably tied for number one.
Now, in a similar vein, watching shows on television, you can get more of an aesthetic view of the entire arena, and you can see what it looks like as far as how the bulk of the fans are going to be seeing the building, not just those in the arena that may not be able to take it all in because they only have the one view of it. What would you say is your favorite venue when you watch television and you see a show?
Ooh, that's another great question. Probably from back in the day, what I loved watching when they had a live show there was the Omni in Atlanta. I mean, it just really looked cool on TV, just a very different arena. I've been there live also, but just to watch it, it's a really cool place. The other place, probably now in the new modern era, I would say probably the Staples Center in Los Angeles. It looks really cool on TV.
One of the types of matches that is still popular today, and it's been around for many, many decades, is the Battle Royal. You have the Royal Rumble, which is a little bit of a gimmicky type of Battle Royal. Often you'll see Battle Royals on the national companies' television shows. Go to any independent, and you're bound to find a Battle Royal any given night. What do you think of the Battle Royal matches in person, just as a own personal preference?
In person, you know, it's actually a lot different than when you watch it on TV. I think in person, when you're at the arena, I think you're more into it. You know, I've been to 2 Royal Rumbles, plenty of Battle Royals, and, you know, the crowd is just in a frenzy, you know. It's just a very different mix, and I would suggest, if you ever have a chance to watch it live in the arena, go to Royal Rumble, because I can assure you, you will be blown away by the experience. It's really worth it.
Of course, the Royal Rumble, like I mentioned, kind of a gimmicky battle royal. The WWE recently held the Greatest Royal Rumble, and that was overseas in Saudi Arabia, where they brought out, I believe it was 40 people for that particular Royal Rumble. There's a lot of people involved. What did you think of WWE presenting something like that from such an exotic location as Saudi Arabia? It seemed to have a really different feel from any other standard WWE show.
You know what, and you're absolutely right about that. There was something different. Like I said, the first ever show there. And, you know, also the financial deal for them, you know, $30 million for one show. I mean, you know, that's a crazy number for one show. I thought with the way they had to do it, I thought they did a fine job. It was something different. You know, some people liked it, you know, some didn't, you know, just which will happen with anything. But I just thought, you know, the crowd, I was surprised. They seemed to know every single character. Like, they would pop for John Cena, for Triple H. You know, they knew what the chants were and stuff like that. So I'll be honest with you, the most shocking thing, I was surprised that the fans were that educated on WWE. I mean, that was really crazy.
Now, the WWE, again, is going to be breaking a little bit of ground very soon, and they're going to have their first all-women show. There's been all-women shows in the past from several different companies, even all-women's pay-per-views in the past, but this will be the WWE's first attempt with it. Do you think that WWE is a little bit behind the times as far as the industry as a whole with women's wrestling being the first women's pay-per-view, or do you think that this is the proper time to finally launch this first all-women's pay-per-view show?
You know, you could argue that this is the right time, but at the same time, it's kind of like you look back, well, why couldn't they have done this a decade ago, you know, when they had Trish Stratus, they had Lita in their primes, you know, so you kind of go throughout the years, and I just feel like now with Triple H at the helm and Stephanie, and they kind of ushered in that, you know, so maybe this is the right time, but I just wish you would have been able to see more women, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, which you had a lot of awesome talent, too. You know, you didn't have enough of it. I also feel like WWE, they're a little bit behind, but at the same time, they're kind of at the front of everything because they're bringing women, you know, into the mainstream media where they belong with all, you know, with all this exposure. So I'm very proud of where they are going. You know, I'm incredibly proud of, like, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair. I mean, these are just amazing athletes. You know, I would tell people that I don't look at, like, Charlotte Flair or even if you want to take a Ronda Rousey as, oh, they're the best female wrestler of this or that. I look at them, I mix them in with the men. You know, I don't think so-and-so is better than, like, a Charlotte Flair. I mean, they're all phenomenal athletes. So I think, like, that's probably the next evolution, you know, is not to just say, oh, well, she's the best female wrestler, you know, but, like, put Charlotte Flair, whoever, in a list of with all the wrestlers.
Now, one of the people that you have been around, I know, is Jimmy Hart, and, of course, he was well-regarded as one of the best managers in the history of the business, but managers here in 2018 are very few and far between as far as the national companies like your Ring of Honor, WWE, Impact, so forth and so on. There's still a good number on the independents, but not as many as there had been even 10 years ago. What do you think of having managers here as it relates to wrestling in 2018? Do you think that it's a dying art form, or do you think that it's something that could be and should be brought back? How do you feel on managers?
Well, obviously, I've been very close with Jimmy Hart, one of the all-time greats, super great human being. I feel like, sadly, it is a dying art form. I feel like maybe today the environment doesn't exist for managers to truly learn their craft, like a Jimmy Hart, where he got to learn in Memphis, you know. Bobby the Brain Heenan, you know, where he went with, you know, he was with Ray Stevens, then he was with Vern Gagne. I just feel like to be a manager on that level, you really have to develop that craft. And I don't think that environment to learn your craft in that regard really exist in these days. I would love to see, you know, them back, but I just feel like, again, they have nowhere to really go learn all you really have is one big place, you know. And I just feel like back in the day when you had all the different places to learn, you were just more schooled, more educated, and more crisp.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure QT has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
Well, thank you, Steingai. Hello, Chris.
Hello, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Chris, I'm somewhat of an expert in guessing people's heritage by analyzing their last name. For instance, if you mention the last name Delashaw to me, I'm inclined to say that person is from Holland. Or if I hear someone's last names are Nikonen or Zatopek, I would assume that they are from Finland and Czechoslovakia. Where does the name Sater have its lineage from? Austria?
You know what? A lot of people think that, but actually my mom and my dad come from Warsaw. That's where they were from. So, yeah, they think it's German or not, but I am 100% Polish.
Wow, okay, Polish. Okay, very good.
Yeah. Right.
Wow, okay. Well, Chris, of all the matches you saw live with Hulk in action, what are the top three wrestlers you would have liked to see Hulk wrestle that you never did?
Ooh, that's, oh man, that's a phenomenal question right there. Speaking of that, phenomenal, one would be AJ Styles. I think that would have been one hell of an interesting match. The other one would be against John Cena. Definitely would have loved to have seen that. And the third, I think, which would have been very interesting, a lot of people might think this is nuts, but Hulk Hogan versus Kenny Omega.
Oh, wow, okay. Yes, that would be an interesting matchup. Wow. Okay. Well, Chris, for a little bit of history, the first wrestling match I saw, at least in a very large venue, like a Superdome or something, was in the Tacoma Dome, and I saw Hulk Hogan wrestle the Big Boss Man, and this was 1985.
Wow, then you really got lucky then, because that was also – some of Hulk's best things I've seen live as a child. His matches against them were great, and they also drew big at the gate.
That one, the one that I went to, yes, it drew pretty well, yes. Uh-huh. And I think it also had Bad News Brown on the card, yes.
Yeah, I think on that show, I think he fought the Macho Man, because there was a double line, because they came with that same show to Chicago. It was Macho Man against Bad News Brown and Hulk Hogan versus Big Boss Man in a steel cage.
Wow. Wow, steel cage. Holy smokes. Okay. Well, Chris, I saw your YouTube video entitled Sater Mania, official trailer, and in parentheses it had 2014, and then the words Hulk Hogan, Chris Sater documentary HD. And at the 30-second mark, if you freeze the video, you have a lemon yellow screen that says Chris Sater, Hulk Hogan superfan, and it shows you in a Hulkamania shirt. Now, this is in a lemon yellow screen. A split second later, you see a wrestler who is sitting down in a locker room with blue lockers in the background, and he has the appearance and demeanor of a Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he says, Chris Sater, let me tell you something right now. I put my hands on you, Chris Sater. I felt the hands constrict around your neck. And in the next frame, you see a wrestling corner, you in the wrestling corner against the turnbuckles, and indeed, a pair of hands is choking you. Do you recall who this bald-headed, silver chain-wearing wrestler is?
Oh, yeah. That was Austin Roberts, and that was as I spent my time in indie wrestling in a promotion called Chicago Style Wrestling, and we had built up a feud for about a good year.
Oh, wow. So you were actually undergoing wrestling and wrestling training yourself.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I actually joined a local organization before that called Windy City Pro Wrestling when I was 16 years old, and I was trained by Christopher Daniels.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. So Christopher Daniels broke you in on running the ropes and taking bumps?
Yeah, him and another guy named Steve Boz, who's a local wrestler in Chicago, and I was at the age of 16, and I trained in Windy City for about a year, and that's what I do. I'd run ropes, and I would get the holy hell beat out of me.
Well, sometimes you got to prove your mental worth, you know, and your ability.
Sure.
What was the name of the wrestler that was choking you?
His name was Austin Roberts.
Now, is it safe to presume he has not contacted you to buy any of your Hulk Hogan merchandise? And why the viciousness toward you?
No, I don't know. I think the only thing he would do is he might take it and smash it over my head again.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think he'll be buying it. We had a pretty good feud there for about a year, and I took some pretty good beatings throughout the course of that year, to say the least.
Well, at the 43-second mark of this video, Hulk says that the first time he encountered you was when you were about 3 to 4 years old, and you were grinning ear to ear with energy. And that was my first encounter with Statermania. My question is, do you remember where this was when the Hulk spotted you? Because in the video, it shows or suggests that Hulk waved to you from the elevator that was going upwards.
Oh, he did, yeah. That was actually at the Hyatt Regency in Rosemont, Illinois, a suburb right outside of Chicago. I was there with my mom and my dad and the sister at the time, and Hulk was going up the elevator, and he saw me. He waved down to me. And then later on, he returned and signed about 6 things for me and took a picture.
Oh, wow. So you made a good contact.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, I've known Hulk since I was 3 years old. So like I said, pro wrestling has basically been my whole life since I was 3.
Wow. Okay. Holy smokes. Okay. So it was an elevator in the Hyatt Regency. Very interesting. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, I also saw a YouTube video entitled Chris Sater on Hanging with Hulk Hogan, and you said something about being in a speedboat with Hulk Hogan in the Gulf of Florida. My question is... Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I spent a lot of time over at his house like that, and I got very close with his family. And he, at the time, had a NWO speedboat, which was awesome. It had images of him on there with the NWO logo, and we went on that speedboat for the first time, and it was a pretty electrifying day.
Now, at the time, was he living in the Tampa area? Tampa.
Yeah. He still lived in the Clearwater Mansion that you would see on Hogan Knows Best in the first season.
Oh, okay. All right. Sign Guy is a big fan of Hogan Knows Best, pretty much. Yes. Okay. Now, here's a question. Have you fished with Hulk Hogan in the Gulf of Mexico for grouper? And at any time, has the Hulk had to ask you to help him reel in a fish?
No, I've never fished with Hulk, but I have eaten stuffed grouper at the restaurant that he used to own called the French Hen in Bel Air Bluffs, Florida. So you're close.
Wow. Now, how would you rate the Hulkster as a chef when he's cooking his fish? Would you rate him as a Michelin chef, one of the highest rated chefs, or does he have a professional chef cook his fish for him?
No. Hulk does everything on his own. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give him a good 9.
Wow. Ooh, that's a very good.
Yeah, what you have to have is something that he made for me. Well, the first time I was at his house was in 2001, and for breakfast I had a blueberry muffin and a Diet Coke, which doesn't sound too bad, but then I drove back home 20 hours to Tampa. It wasn't such a good trip because that wasn't such a good mix of food.
Wow. All right. Well, now, in one of your videos, I guess it was hanging with Hulk Hogan, you had met up with a wrestler, Nick Cutler, and he had a bottle of creatine with him. Since this video, has Nick Cutler's arms grown larger?
Oh, Nick Cutler's arms, brother, they may be bigger than Hulk Hogan's today in 2018, man.
Wow.
He's still doing his thing in Chicago style wrestling right now in various indie promotions. You know, he's become a great talent. Nick Cutler is one hell of a guy, and he does. And that creatine, I think, worked.
Now that was interesting.
Podcast interview. Hello. Hello.
In your videos, it shows you doing dumbbell flies and the bench press. How good of shape would you rate yourself that you were in at the top of your indie wrestling?
At that point, I had just started in the gym, so not too good. But later on, like especially now, it's a whole different story. From that video, I would say I'm probably about 45 to 50 pounds lighter, and the gym has become like my life also with pro wrestling.
Wow, all right. How many long-distance runs have you been on with Hulk Hogan to develop your cardio? Have you been on any 5K runs with a Hulkster?
Oh, no, Hulk wasn't really about running, just mainly in the gym with weightlifting and getting on the bike and the elliptical. So, it's been pretty cool being in the gym with Hulk, you know. Even today at age 65, he's in phenomenal shape. But he was more about weightlifting and just kind of watching what he eats.
Wow, all right. Well, can you recall your first indie match where Hulk Hogan was present and cheering you from ringside?
Well, the only indie show that Hulk attended was one back in 2009 at Toyota Park. So that, you know, I had cut him in for that show. He did an appearance. So it was Hulk Hogan Appreciation Day. And he came over to my house that day for dinner. We hung out. We, you know, did the show. And that was probably one of the most magical nights, I would say, of my life for sure.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Chris, Sign Guy mentioned to you the Hollywood Hulk Hogan era earlier. How much Hulk merchandise do you have from the Hollywood NWO era?
Oh, a lot. Like I said, I have a whole basement, two bedrooms filled with Hulk Hogan stuff, a lot of stuff from the Hollywood era because I really, really love that era. And I was around him a lot back then. I used to go to a lot of Nitros. I did a lot of WCW Thunders back then, Clash of Champions. You know, it was just that was really to another magical time when wrestling was so big and Hulk Hogan had a second splurge and wave of him being big again like in the 80s.
Now, were you old enough to meet Andre the Giant? And what was your first impression when Andre the Giant and Bobby the Brain Heenan challenged in almost tearful Hulk Hogan to wrestle at WrestleMania and he tore Hogan's shirt?
Well, I remember just watching that as a kid. I was afraid for Hulk because Andre the Giant, you know, was very mythical, you know, 7'4", 500 pounds, you know, so for the first time I was scared. I really thought, you know, at the time when I was a kid, I really thought he was going to lose the belt. And I was actually, what happened, I was going to meet him, and I was probably about 7 or 8 at the time, and I had missed him at a hotel called the Hotel Sofitel, which is a French hotel in Rosemont, by about a minute. And that was my only time I could have ever met him, because then he left Vince, you know. But, like, back in the day, I got to meet the Ultimate Warrior as a child, the Macho Man, Roddy Piper. I mean, I really got to see these guys up close.
Wow. Now, where did you first meet that Roddy Piper? He was a staple of the Northwest when he was young.
Oh, yeah. I first met Roddy Piper in 1989 at a hotel called the Clarion in Rosemont. He had walked in off a shuttle bus with him. It was Roddy Piper, the Macho Man, Jimmy Superfly Snuka. I mean, it was really cool, especially back then, you know, when you're a little kid, and this is 1989, and all these guys are on their prime of their careers.
Now, at that time, had Roddy Piper broken a coconut over Snuka's head? Was this prior to the incident in Piper's Pit?
Oh, yeah, no, this is, that was a great moment. This is about 5 years after that moment. So I think they kind of put everything to the side at that point.
Wow, okay. Wow. So, all right. Well, Chris, your Hulk Hogan comic book collection looks about as impressive as Gene Simmons' comic book collection, which was shown with Gene Simmons' Family Jewels. Have you had your Hulk Hogan comic book collection appraised?
No, actually, I've been thinking about doing that, but I have not, no. But that's a hell of a great idea to do.
How many duo autographs do you have? Like a Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper duo autograph Hulk Hogan comic book. How many duo autographs?
Oh, probably about maybe 10 or 15.
Wow, 10 or 15. Holy smokes. What would you say was the most interesting Hulk Hogan combination autograph, besides maybe Piper?
Well, I think what's the coolest piece is on one magazine cover, there's Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, Ric Flair, The Macho Man, and The Undertaker, and Elizabeth, and I have them all signed on one magazine cover.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of which, did you ever have a chance to meet Miss Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah, I met her numerous times. Very sweet lady, very down to earth. I met her a lot when she was with the Macho Man back in '89 a few times. And then I met her when she was with Lex Luger later on in 1998 and '99. Very super sweet woman.
Wow. Okay. How many times would you estimate you saw Hulk Hogan wrestle in Canada?
Three times.
Wow, three times. Can you name the venues that you saw him wrestle at in Canada?
The Sky Dome, and then I believe it was the Forum in Montreal, and then after that, later on, the Molson Center.
Oh, wow. Holy smokes. Okay. Now, speaking of Canadian wrestlers, were you deeply saddened by the recent passing of Jim the Anvil Neidhart?
Oh, very much, because I used to meet him as a child all the time. He's very friendly, very super nice to me as a kid. I mean, I love him. I love Bret Hart, and I got to meet Owen Hart numerous times back in 93 and 94. And just another super down-to-earth human being was Owen Hart also.
Now, how old were you when you first met Jim the Anvil Neidhart?
8 or 9 years old.
Oh, okay, 8 or 9. I think you were a little bit past the age where maybe if you were 4 or 5 or 6 and you saw someone like Jim the Anvil Neidhart, he could be a little bit intimidating looking.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I'll be honest with you, even at that age, I was still a little bit scared by him. And I, as a child, I met Earthquake when he first came in. He was very intimidating to meet also as a child. And so was the Warlord and Barbarian back in 1989.
Oh, yeah, the Warlord and Barbarian. They would cut. Let's say you were headed down a dark alley and you came across them. You'd be a little bit, how would you say, trepidatious?
I think trepidatious might be, an underestimate for that. I think I would probably soil myself.
Now, what if a super fan, let's say 8 or 9 years old, turned down an alley and they saw you? Would they get the same reaction as seeing the Warlord or the Barbarian?
Maybe in a different way.
Oh, okay.
Man.
Well, when you first met Roddy Piper, did he have his bagpipes with him? Or did you ever get to see Roddy Piper play the bagpipes?
No, never live. I never saw him with it. I know back in the day, a lot of the guys would have to carry, if you want a belt, you'd have to hand it yourself and everything. But no, I actually never saw that with him. So that was probably carried, probably at the time, by one of the agents or Howard Finkel.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Chris, when was the earliest that you were aware that you had a reputation or you were the kid with a Hulk Hogan reputation among your school peers? Was it in grade school?
Oh, easily. Oh, yeah, in grade school, I'd say about third or fourth grade. I mean, because that's all I would talk about. So all the kids there knew, all the teachers, I mean, throughout my whole entire time at the school. I mean, I was very well known because I would have my Hulk Hogan folder, backpack, pencil case. So, you know, it was pretty hard not to know.
Wow, okay. Now, were you aware of any girls in junior high school that were rabid Hulk Hogan fans? Girls in junior high school.
You'd be surprised, but there were a few. Probably back then, they're a little bit more discreet about it than they would now, just because, you know, it was a different era back then, you know. But there actually were a few, which shocked me.
Oh, okay. All right. How many of your junior high school English papers dealt on the subject of Hulkamania?
Actually, probably a few, which is kind of funny. But he'd always be sneaked in there or, you know, when we'd be doing history homework and inside the textbook, I would have the new issue of WWF magazine that didn't go over too good with the teacher at the time. So, but that's what I'd do. I would hide them in my book. Instead of reading that, I'd be reading about Hulk Hogan versus Zeus.
Oh, wow. Yes. What's his name, Tiny Lester?
Yes.
Yes,
I met him back in from Friday. I met him back at the Survivor Series 89.
Wow, do you have any of his autographs along with the whole comic book? Tiny Lester.
Yeah, now he was probably the one guy as a kid that I was very afraid of, even at the hotel. Because he played the character of Zeus, I think, pretty much anywhere where he was out in a hotel or airport at the time.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Well, I got to admit, he certainly met his match in the movies Fridays, though. Yes.
Oh, he did, yeah. Ice Cube gave him maybe more of a beating than Rip did in No Holds Barred.
Wow, okay. Well, now, Chris, did you grow up all your life in the Chicago area, the Windy City?
Yes. Yes, I did. So through that, I got to see a lot of great wrestling. I mean, WWF and WCW used to come here every month apiece.
Have you met Billy Corrigan of the Smashing Pumpkins, who got into wrestling?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, I was with them backstage a few times in Orlando for Impact Wrestling.
Wow. Well, has he given you any matching pumpkin
He just talked a little bit about what was going on in the current world of wrestling back then, and I'll probably say this was about 2013.
Wow, 2013, okay, all right. Now, you said you had to have a sister. How old is she, and did you practice your Hulk Hogan moves on her as a youngster in their backyard?
Yeah. She's a lot older than me, actually, by about almost 15 years. I would actually wrestle just about anybody I could. I'd always would pretend I'm Hulk when I'd be at school and stuff. But I actually got into a fight one time in grammar school. I was in eighth grade. And at the end of the fight, I actually hulked up and won the fight, which was crazy.
Holy smokes. Wow. Now the person that you beat up, are you still in contact with him today? And can you laugh about it?
I laugh about it, but I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen him since eighth grade.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, I guess my Hulk Hogan celebration at the end didn't go over so well with him.
Yeah, maybe it did a little bit of psychological trauma. Yes. Holy smokes.
I haven't seen him since, so.
All right. So you did wrestle your sister sometimes, like in the backyard. What personas would your sister undertake?
Her favorites were always Carrie Von Erich.
Oh, the Von Erichs. Very good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Did your parents make up a belt for you guys? A belt?
Well, you know, we pretty much made one ourselves, and then a lot of the neighborhood kids, you know, they'd be over in my backyard, I'd be in their backyard, and you know, we'd all wrestle, and they loved the Bushwhackers back then. A lot of kids would be the Ultimate Warrior, Ravishing Rick Rude. I mean, so yeah, it was especially even at school, you know, the kids would try to have wrestling matches on the playground during lunch, which didn't go over too good with the lunch ladies.
Oh, wow. All right. Did you ever have a chance to meet Sherry Martel?
Yes, I did. I met Sherry Martel, I'd say, probably around 10 times. And she was also a very sweet, down-to-earth woman.
Oh, wow. Very good. Okay. Now, do you think Sherry Martel could give Hulk Hogan a run for his money when she cooked a fish or grouper from the Gulf of Mexico?
I think Sherry Martel could give anybody a run for their money in a fight or making dinner.
Wow. Holy smokes. Even if she went up against Billy Corgan?
Well, she might have met her match in Billy Corgan. I don't know.
Wow. All right. All right. Well, Chris, it was good talking with you. And
yes, sir.
I'm going to turn it back to the sign guy at this time.
All right.
Thank you, QT. Well, Chris, one of the things that a lot of wrestling fans enjoy is comedy in their wrestling. There's always been comedy matches since there's been professional wrestling. Some fans really love it. Others do not. What's your take on comedy as it relates to professional wrestling?
You know, I know a lot of people are against it because they always feel like this should be, always very serious. But I think if it's done by the right characters and it's done on the right spot in the match or on the show, then it's okay. But if it's constantly every match, there's that I feel that would take away from the show as a whole in of itself.
Fair enough. Now, I know you said you started out liking the bigger brawlers and got into the workhorses. Especially here in 2018, wrestling fans are exposed to a wide variety of styles. You have the aerial style of wrestling. You have the big brawlers. You have the on-the-mat technical wrestlers. There's a British style. There's Japanese styles, Lucha Libre style. So many different types of wrestling that fans can watch and appreciate more than ever. Do you have your own personal favorite style that you enjoy watching in today's wrestling environment?
You know, I am a big fan of Lucha. I'm a big fan of Pentagon Jr. I mean, I think he's a phenomenal talent. I do love the strong style of New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's like you said, there's so many different styles. The Ring of Honor style, just total workhorses. Every match is almost like a five-star match, if you will. I think probably if I had to choose out of them, I'd probably go with the New Japan strong style.
Now, you mentioned New Japan. They might be hotter than they have ever been, not only just in general, but especially here in the United States, where they seem to have a growing influence in American wrestling. What do you think that the attraction is as far as American fans of 2018 and Japanese pro wrestling? It seems to really be gaining popularity more and more.
Oh, no, and you're right, it has. I started watching New Japan Pro Wrestling probably back in 91 when Tatsumi Fujinami was the IWGP champion. I just feel like now it has more of an audience and more exposure in America, and I just feel like the U.S. fans have never really seen wrestling quite portrayed in that way. And then a lot of people also look to an alternative to WWE also. So I think those two factors, people searching for an alternative to Vince, and then just never being exposed to such a hardcore, hard-slamming wrestling. Also, too, where the fans, they don't pop for stuff like they do here in America. Even the audience setting is very different.
Now, of course, you mentioned the Lucha Libre style, and that also is a very popular style of wrestling, especially here with the advent of Lucha Underground. It's really taken off. WCW had a lot of luchadors in the mid-90s, and that seemed to really jumpstart the popularity of things. Do you think that WWE has really taken advantage of the popularity of Lucha Libre, or do you think that they're still behind as far as the overall industry taking advantage of some of the popularity of Lucha Libre?
Well, no, in that regard, I think they're very, very behind on that. They haven't really gotten the stars, I feel, to show how great Lucha Libre is. So hopefully that's something that they can fix, especially if they can get Pentagon Jr., who definitely might end up there next year.
Of course, one of the largest weeks for professional wrestling every year is the week of WrestleMania. In the last 5 to 10 years, all the promotions that are major in the United States have gone to wherever WrestleMania is going to be, and they base out of that general vicinity as well. You have so many conventions going to whatever vicinity WrestleMania is from in a given year. There's so much more to do. Hundreds of thousands of fans flock to that area, not only just for WrestleMania, but also for all of the independents and all the major shows that the other groups put on nearby and the conventions and so forth and so on. What do you think of wrestling getting to the point where WrestleMania week is now not only just for WWE, but for the industry as a whole, the most major week of the entire year?
Well, yeah, it really has become. I mean, you know, here's the funny thing. A lot of people will go and bash Vince, they'll bash WWE, but yet during that weekend, every single promotion piggybacks off of the WWE, which that's a fact. No matter how you slice and dice it, if Vince wasn't there, all these places would not be selling out all their shows. But at the same time, I think it's great because now an audience that may have never been exposed to the Ring of Honor, a Lucha, or an Impact, now they actually get to go and see it. I mean, the best thing I've seen is Ring of Honor selling out MSG during WrestleMania weekend. I mean, that is, I mean, just a catastrophic thing in a good way. I mean, 5 years ago, that never would have been possible. But like I said, a WrestleMania weekend, like if you're a wrestling fan, you really need to go and do a WrestleMania week. You really have to. It's the greatest time of the year. You're exposed to so many different conventions. I mean, you have, I think, 40 to 50 different wrestling organizations. I mean, it's truly a magical week, to say the least.
Now, being in Chicago, you've probably heard of the show upcoming next week. Cody and the Young Bucks are presenting All In. They've gotten their own 10,000-seat venue. They have sold it out. They have a lot of great independent talent coming in for it. It's something that they're doing on their own. They're getting some assistance with the show from Ring of Honor, but Ring of Honor itself is not the presiding promotion in place. What do you think of the job that Cody and the Young Bucks have done making All In go from something that was more or less sort of just an idea of could they do it to now being something that they not only have done it, it looks like it might make them some money?
Oh, no, I mean, it's an incredible feat. I love the Young Bucks, love Cody Rhodes, amazing talent. I can't wait for All In, can't wait for StarCast, just in under 5 days. I've been to the Cedar Centers before for Impact Wrestling with Hulk there and Sting. I mean, I've been backstage there. It's a great venue. Impact at the time drew 6,500, which is a great crowd, but they actually sold out the venue with 10,000, which is just an amazing, amazing feat. You know, a lot of guys I know are going to be on the show. Cabana's going to be there. I'm looking forward to seeing him and just seeing a few old friends at StarCast. Austin Aries, I mean, that's another amazing thing. The StarCast alone, the convention with all the guys on the show, that's an amazing thing for a fan to attend next week.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great, great week, I think, next week. StarCast and All In look to be huge. Now, we have just a few minutes left in the show today, so I want to give you ample time. If there's anything at all you would like to say, then go ahead and say that. Plug and promote anything you would want to plug and promote.
Sure. Like I said, again, it's been an honor to be on the, on your show. I'm glad that you to the show and stuff. It's been an awesome month for you. I wish you continued success. And just like I said, man, the wrestling business is more on fire than ever. If you're a fan, it's a great time to be a fan. If you're in the actual business, it's an even better time. And pro wrestling is bigger than ever, and it's garnered more respect than ever, which this is what really makes me happy. So for everybody out there, man, go out and support it, man. Whether it's Lucha Underground, WWE Impact, or your local wrestling, man, support it, and let's make this industry grow bigger than ever.
Absolutely. Great time to be a fan of professional wrestling. So many companies doing so many great things. Industry as a whole growing exponentially. So if you're anywhere near a show today, get out there, support some professional wrestling today. And Chris, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your day to be with us here. Greatly appreciated. And hopefully our paths will cross sometime at a show.
Yes, sir. I hope so. And again, thank you for letting me be on the show, man. And have a great day and stay strong.
All right, fans, get out there, support your local independents. You can find me in North Portland today at Blue Collar Wrestling. You can also go watch a television taping, Big League Wrestling, happening in Toppenish, Washington. They have broadcast television across Washington, Idaho, and Montana. So definitely if you're in the area, Big League Wrestling, a great promotion to support as well. But go find some anywhere you're at, wrestling all over the country on a big uptick right now. So get out there and support that. And we will talk to you next week, next Friday afternoon. We will be back with you. Our guest next Friday, Craig Peters and Gary Morgenstein of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, formerly. And a week from today, Uncle Jasper will be by. I think you're going to be very entertained with Uncle Jasper next week. So make plans, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, have a great day, man.
Once a man is glad, you spoke like your grandmother. 200 acres down, and there's no end in view. A shot of fireball, one reason turned to screw, and 40 ounces of steel reserve.